It says, let this mind be in you, the mind which is also in Christ Jesus. Hey, I'm honored to preach for you this morning. And I miss Brother Lawrence. Him and Miss Sharon, they love giving me a fit. I've told Miss Sharon, we come down and helped her build that porch. I've threatened 100 times to go steal her porch swing. So that's how I keep her under subjection. I tell her, I said, I know where you live at. I'll steal this porch swing. But that don't work either. I'm in Matthew, please, chapter 6. Got your Bibles? Hold them up real high. Hold them up there just for a moment. Thank the Lord. Right kind, it'll count. Y'all a little slow down here. 1 Corinthians, please. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. That's on my mind. Matthew chapter 6. Like I said, I'm honored to preach for you. Brother Lawrence called me, and he asked me, and I'm getting better. Everybody keeps asking me about I'm getting better. They went and put the stent in my heart. And I told him I'm wired up. Amen. I mean, I've got so many things in me. What do you think about that? Aortic valve, three artery bypasses, pacemaker. Oh, by the way, my cardiologist, he told me he's a super nice guy and loves the Lord. He told me, he said, preacher, he said, you just work with me now. He said, and I'll get you right back. And he stopped and didn't say it. He said, I was going to say normal. But he said, they ain't no gauge of normality because you ain't no normal human. I said, well, what made you come to that decision? Ain't that that boy's a sight. But anyway, I am. They went back in and they put the stent in my heart. And I'm getting better. And so I sneak off occasionally and go preach. And he finds out about it and then he reads me the Riot Act. Yeah, you'll love these. I want this doctor for the Lord. And he loves the Lord. So he's my primary physician. So I leave a team of cardiologists, and he said, about 6 or 8 weeks. So I go back to the cardiologist. I said, what can I do? He said, anything you want to do. So I took him at his word. So I went right back to preaching as hard as I could preach. And so I go to my primary physician. He said, Brother Sisson, he said, what did your doctor tell you? I said, he told me to do anything I wanted to do. He said, that doctor don't know you. He said, he probably goes to a Presbyterian church. He said, if he'd seen how hard you'd preach, he said it would give him a coronary. Ah, forget that stuff. I'm in Matthew, please, chapter 6. Find your place. Now, I hope you'll come back tonight. Hey, I'm worried about tonight. We may exit out of this world. But I hope you come back tonight. I get to preach tonight to Brother Noble. My whole goal in life is to see Noble Crowley get right with the Lord. I'm pointing at him. That's my whole goal in life. Oh, by the way, I've got to show you this before I get to preaching. The brother made me this out of this golf ball. See it? It looks like Noble. All it needs is that white goatee. I can hang it on my mirror and think about Noble. That don't work either, amen. But I appreciate it. Matthew, please, chapter 6. Let's read together in verse 16. Now, I want everybody to focus your attention. Matthew chapter 6. Where's the missionaries at? Bless their heart. Going to be to the military?
Yes, sir.
God bless your heart. Hey, let me tell you what I done yesterday. No, yesterday, Saturday. It's Friday. I went and knocked on this man's door, and a nice old farmhouse, and so I waited. I knew I could hear people in there, so in a few moments he came to the door, one of the nicest men you ever met in your life, and he was 89 years old. So he comes out there, and we sit underneath some trees, underneath shade, and so we got to talking, and he fought in the battle of the boat. And so I'd never just got to talk to someone that fought in the Battle of the Bulge. And he was telling me about how, and this boy, this got all over me. See, I love military. My heart breaks. Amen. And he was talking about how, see, I don't know, do y'all remember what I'm talking about when I say the Battle of the Bulge? Men froze to death. Things you wouldn't think about. Whatever position that they were in, their bodies, whether it was in the embryo state
said a lot of times their bodies, their knees would be up against their chin. And see, people, you don't understand when you freeze death in that condition. Did you get that? Him talking about picking their bodies up just as stiff as a board. Ain't that a sight?
And he went through all of that and didn't even get a scratch. And you know, and he started crying. Big tears started running down his chin. He said, it's because I had a church and a mom and dad that prayed for me. Ain't that a blessing? Boy, that old gentleman forgot more than I'll probably ever learn in my life. I love our military. Boy, y'all look like you're taking a dose of castor oil. Great day. You can see Lawrence any day. I'm in Matthew 6, please. Let's read together in verse 16, please. Ready? Matthew 6, verse 16. Now, take notes on me. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. I want you to watch this. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Boy, I love this. Look in verse 19. Lay up not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now the word but in verse 20 is a conjunction. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Look in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there is where your heart will be also. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. And Lord, thank you when you was on the cross, where we were on your mind. Lord, I pray this morning, help us. Lord, take care of my children. Lord, my prayer is this morning, Lord, they'd honor you with their lives. Help us this morning. Thank you again for being so good to us. Bless Brother Lawrence and Miss Sharon. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me get me a drink of water. Sometimes I sort of, every old steam engine needs a little water. Anybody here, and I know Brother Lawrence and I have been we've been friends for years and years. How many of you are familiar with a Noah Webster 1828 dictionary? Would you raise your hand? Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. If you don't have one, you ought to get one. Amen. Not a Daniel, but a Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. There was 100 years difference between Noah Webster and Daniel Webster. And over that 100 years, there's a whole lot of word changes. Now, you can go online, and I'm not on computers, but you can go online, and now you can buy the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary on CD for hardly nothing. Mine is in a book form, and they're like $49 or $50 when I bought mine. And I love my dictionary. Look in verse 19, and I'm going to show you this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's verse 19. Look in verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's twice. Look down in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Bible, if you look up Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, he says the word heart means the very center of affection. Center of affection. But he says the word treasure is what you highly prize above all other things. Now I want you to get this. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So the heart is what's the center of affection, but the treasure is what you highly prize above everything. Well, notice what Jesus said. For your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you don't mind, where's your heart at? If your heart is the very center of affection, and your treasure is what you highly prize above everything, we're living in a day and time when people, our day and time, their treasure is antiques. That's the reason why my wife loves me. I want to tell you what she done to me. Let me tell you what she done to me. Miss Betty, you've been to my house. I bought that house. I didn't really buy it. I traded my 6.5 acres out at the camp to where we live at now because my mother-in-law moved in with us. She can move anytime she wants, as long as she brings her purse. Amen. But Mama moved in with us, and it was closer to town, closer to the doctors, closer to the hospital, her being 93 years old. So anyway, this house that we traded for had windows about this big. So help me, just little old narrow windows about this big. And it's a sort of, it was a relatively, I think it's only 2 years old. And my wife, she hated them windows. So anyway, I had this heart surgery. So I had this guy to come over and help me. The house is a brick house. So I popped lines, and I've always been able to work all this. So I popped these lines, and by the way, right there's one of them windows. See that thing? Mine looked just like that. Didn't even open. So my wife, she got this bright idea. You know, women come up with these wonderful ideas. Wonderful ideas. She said, why can't we make that window bigger? I said, well, we can. Notice I said, we can. My house is brick. So I went outside and I popped them lines on that brick. And I went and got me a grinder. And boy, they've everybody fussing and a grapping. You don't need to be doing that. You're going to have a heart attack. I said, so what? I'll just go to heaven. So anyway, Brother Jay, I cut that brick out of there. So I put her this great big window in her hair. Great big window. And that opens. Look at y'all's faces. Every morning of my life, that white woman I live with gets up and comes down through there and she says, have I told you lately I love you for putting that window in? Every morning of my life, I mean, I hear this, have I told you lately that I love you for my window? So I said, okay, you mean all them other 46 years you don't love me? You just love me now because I put a window in. Now then, hey, I told her the other day, I said, Mary, I said, your heart ain't right. All you love's a window. That didn't go over big, just like it ain't going over big now. But I'm just saying, people today, their heart is what I believe is what you, the center of your affection. Now, I like things nice. Amen. Some people, their treasure and their heart, if you notice in your Bible, in verses 21, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Well, some people, they love antiques. That's where their heart's at. They treasure them things. I don't know if you've ever been to Corbin, Kentucky. Corbin's right off Interstate 75. I can take you over there and show you a $3.5 million, what's called a Baptist Fitness Center. Ain't that pitiful? What I mean by that, their treasure is their body. They treasure their body. And I would to God today that we that are saved, I wish we would discipline ourselves like athletes do. Amen. To do something for God. But I begin to put it in my mind, what you highly prize above other things? Cars. I love old cars. Built them all my life. But I mean, some people, they treasure these things. And one of these days, they're going to go right back to the dust of the earth. Some people, if you check it out, I thought about what Romans chapter 12 says. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So where you, some people, they treasure their bodies. And secondly, some people, they treasure, and I believe this, that's where your mind will be. People's minds today is on everything under God's green earth other than earth, other than the Lord Himself. You come down here, I mean, they're washing the cars. And, I mean, coming down here from Somerset, it's about maybe 2 hours and a half drive, maybe 3 hours, according to who drives. But I'm just saying, where your treasure is, that's where your mind will be. But what your treasure is, where your body will be. And I forget to thought about it. I thought about how their minds, and they're interested in everything in the world other. And Jesus says, for where your treasure, that's where your heart will be. So the heart is what's your center of affection. The treasure is what you highly prize. And I thought about this. I thought about we've gone sin crazy in our society. We've gone sports crazy in our society. They can't build stadiums big enough and fast enough to house all the people, amen. I can go into churches and tell you when Kentucky has lost a ball game. That's pitiful. Hey, I know y'all don't believe this. I honestly, before God, I can go into churches. And I'm not very sports-minded at all. I couldn't care less. I mean, I just don't care. I mean, I couldn't care less. But I'm talking about their minds, everybody's minds is centered around Let me give you this one. Somerset, we've got all these boats, got at Lake Cumberland. You ought to have seen how they converged on Somerset Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They brought boats in from all over the whole country. I mean, our whole Pulaski County, you couldn't even get a motel. There's so many people on the lakes. That's where their minds is at. Their mind, NASCAR, sports, football, baseball, amen. That their minds are so centered on that, that's where their treasure is at. And third thing, let me show you this. I thought about this. Where your treasure is, where your ambitions will be. People's ambitions today is money, materialism. They don't care who they step on as long as they succeed in life. They don't care who they hurt. They're power crazy, amen. But you say, preacher, where your treasure, that's where your ambitions will be. Can I tell you something? If you're saved and your name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're already a success. Amen. Do I believe you ought to do something for God? Yes, I do. I believe God saved you for a plan and a purpose. Amen. But I'm saying that people's ambitions are that they want to get ahead. They don't care how they get ahead. They dishonor God, live as there's no God, no judgment, no hell, no punishment. Amen. So you see, according to verse 21, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So the heart is the center of affection, but the treasure is what you highly prize above everything else. So if I thought about Jesus says, lay up your treasures in heaven, I begin to put it in my mind, what is a treasure? My wife, I love buying her things. I buy her them cheap things. Not like Brother Noble, you know, he don't buy Kathy nothing. He just cheap. That just slipped out. I'm sorry. You're going to die later when I tell you all this. I'm talking about what you treasure. The other day, my wife was looking for a certain flower. She loves flowers. She loves flowers. So here we go down to this garden or nursery. And they got, when you go into the nursery, a great big nursery, they got all kinds of things set up outside like a flea market. I like old stuff. Nuts, bolts. If you got tools, I like it. Amen, Jay. I go in there, and I watch my wife, and she's got this crazy-looking thing that looks like a World War II helmet. I said, Mary, that's not a helmet. She said, and it was old and it was rusty. She's looking at it, turning over. She said, I don't know what it is, but I want it. I said, Mary, why would you want the thing? You don't even know what it is. I said, if you tell me what it is, I'll buy it for you. He only wanted $2 for it. Guess what that thing was? It was a 1920 water trough for a horse. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, I got it on my back porch. The horse comes up there, and it's made like this. It's been cast, and the horse can hit it with his nose, and it'll fill the water trough up, and he'll drink water out of it. I got it on my back porch. Everybody in the world looks at that thing and wants to know what it is. I said, it's a horse trough. It's a watering trough. But it looks like a World War II helmet. Y'all know what them is. Put on your head. She thinks that's the greatest thing in the world. I gave $2 for it. Well, what I'm saying is, she's got things that woman treasures above everything. It's not me. But she treasures everything in the world. So I began to put it in my mind, Jesus said, for where you treasure, that's where your heart will be also. Now my wife would shoot you in a drop of a hat over her flowers. I got so tickled. We had this little old neighbor kid come over to the house, and he had went and picked his mother a whole bouquet of my wife's flowers. I thought my wife was going to have a coronary. Come up there and give them to his mother. Wasn't dandelions either, son. They said, get them flowers. My wife loves that stuff. But what I'm saying is, for where your treasure is, now listen to me, have you ever thought about, Jesus said this in verse 20, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So I began to put it in mind, I thought, what's your treasure? I believe this all my heart. If you're really right with God and your heart's right with God and you treasure the right kind of things, I believe you'll have a thankful heart. That's the one thing that's missing everywhere I go. I go back in my mind and I think about how God has blessed this church. Well, I believe you ought to be thankful. Amen. But I go back in my mind and I think about some of the revivals we had in the old building over there. I can remember when you didn't have all these school buildings. I can remember when you didn't have this auditorium. Amen. But I'm saying where your treasure is, you'll have a thankful heart. And I believe this all my heart. I believe one, and first and foremost, I believe you ought to treasure your home. Amen, sister. Your mom and your dad. That old gentleman I was talking to fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was talking about his dad and mom. And he was talking about him 89, his birthday. Here's what he said. He said, I'm 89 years old. I look back over it and I see how much knowledge my mom and dad really had. See, you have to get way up in years and then you look back. But I'm saying if your mom and dad is alive, you ought to treasure them. Amen. You would to God one day you could go and just sit down and talk to your mom and dad. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Well, I begin to put mine, I believe you ought to treasure. A home is a treasure, amen. Where mom is saved and dad is saved and where the kids are saved, where they ain't all this fussing and fighting. Thank God for a good home, amen. You ought to treasure it. My wife said the other day, she loves it. I wish she was here. She said, how come we don't fight no more after 47 years? I said, you want to? Perk up a little. But I mean, where they ain't all this fussing and fighting and feuding. Say amen. Ain't a home a treasure? Amen. Man, I love my home. Lord's been good to us. But I'm just saying, I love home. I love that four-letter word home. I like going home. I like getting on the back porch. Amen. But I'm saying a home is a treasure. Amen. Jesus said, in verse 21, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So I said, one, I believe a good home, a Christian home, is a treasure, amen. Second thing, I believe this all in my heart, a health. What a treasure that is. Good health. Amen. Rarely do I ever have a headache. Rarely do I ever feel bad. That's a blessing. Amen, Miss Kathy. I mean, health is a treasure. Why do we have to have it gone before we ever appreciate it? I'm going to tell you when you treasure your mom and dad. Let's go back to this. I'm going to tell you when you really treasure your mom and dad. When you don't have them anymore. That's when you really treasure your mom and dad. I'll tell you what, something else. When your health is gone, that's when you'll really go back and really treasure good health. I'm talking about where you treasure, that's where your heart will be, amen. Do you treasure your home? Do you treasure your health? Say amen. For where your treasure, that's where your heart will be. I was over at Walmart. You can get anything at Walmart. That's what my wife says. But no, but do y'all know what I mean when I say Oakwood? If I say Oakwood, do y'all know what I mean by that? Would you raise your hand? Oakwood, Somerset. Oakwood, Somerset. It was right there in Somerset. You don't see it. It's off the road. But I think they've got over 1,100 mentally incapacitated either children or adults. I know people that have been raised at Oakwood from infancy. All their whole lives, it's a state facility. And sometimes you'll see them at Walmart. Those that's not as extreme. You know what I mean? That's not as bad. They're coming to Walmart. I cried like a baby. Probably can't tell it without crying now. But I watched them. There's probably 8 or 10 of them. And this one little, their feet was so deformed, they couldn't hardly walk down the aisles. But I wish you could have seen the smile of that child. When I say child, I'm talking about 18, 19 years old. And I mean, their feet were so drawn and they couldn't even hardly move. And their body was so... But I'm saying, if you could have seen their face and seen how radiant their faces was, what I'm saying is, God's given you 2 good legs, amen, and God's given you good health. That's a treasure, amen. Amen.
give you kids that's not mentally incapacitated. That's a treasure, ain't it? I'm saying where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. A home is a treasure. Good health is a treasure, amen. Then I thought about this. Friends, what a treasure they are. They're so rare, I don't want to do without one of them. You ever treasure y'all's friends? I mean, do you really? There's a man called me today, God bless his heart. His name is Michael Hale. He's over in Smithfield, Tennessee. And he's got two or three funeral homes. And I think Michael is 38 years old and he's got two children. But he's got a rare type of disease that's destroying his whole body. Call me today. Nicest guy you ever met in your life. Never hear him complain. Never hear him ever say, why me? He can roll faster in a wheelchair than I can even walk. But I mean, and he preaches out of a wheelchair. But you talk about a friend as Michael Hale. And he tries to be a friend to everybody in and around Smithville, McMinnonville. I mean, and I'm saying a friend is a treasure. Amen. My old grandpa told me, he said, Melvin, if you got health and you got friends, you got everything. You have to think about that a moment. Say amen. Amen. Well, I'm saying a home is a treasure. Health is a treasure. And I'm saying this, friends, they are a treasure. Amen. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Your home, thank God. Hey, I believe this. I say it till I don't have a voice. Hey, I believe with all my heart, you ought to treasure your wife. Amen. I believe you ought to treasure a good husband. Amen. I made a visit the other day. This poor woman, God bless her heart. This sorry no-count man. You want me to say it again? Put it in the sorry no-count man. He had beat her. Ain't that awful? Do y'all know what? Where's me? Is anybody here in law enforcement? Son, what is a, what's that where they're not allowed to be with so many feet? What's it called? P.O.? A.P.O.?
E.P.O.
All right. If you've never asked that deputy, I think he's a policeman, but ask him about it. You're not allowed but to go with so many feet of each other. Am I right?
Correct.
Now watch this. He beat her unmercifully. He probably weighs 225 pounds. She don't weigh 140, soaking wet. We ought to treasure where your home is not like that. Amen. Have to go get deputy sheriffs to come and serve him kind of an EPO and all this kind of stuff and go before a judge. Hey, you ought to jump up and shout and say, thank God, hallelujah. What a treasure a home is, amen. What a treasure health is. What a treasure friends are, amen. Me and this preacher used to fuss. Me and him go down the road, we'd just fuss. He was a lot older than I was. I was always taught to respect people. He was older than I was, and he'd say, Brother Sisson, when it comes time to die, he said, if you can count your friends on your hands, you'll be a fortunate man. I said, oh, that's crazy junk. That's what I said. That's been 35, 40 years ago, and boy, I look back over at it, and a lot of truth in that. If you can count that many friends, and a friend is somebody that knows everything about you and still is your friend. There ain't a lot of them around. Say amen. But I'm saying a friend is a treasure, amen. I'm not preaching yet. A good home is a treasure. A good health is a treasure. I got a lady who visited her this past week. I took care of her daddy's funeral. One of the worst funerals I ever took care of in my life was her daddy. I done it because I could present Jesus. Most people, when they attend a funeral, there'll be people there that's never even said any of the gospel. They asked me, would I take care of this old gentleman's funeral? I did. 88 years old. Look here. Never made any kind of profession of faith in Christ. I didn't say, I didn't know the man. I couldn't say nothing about him. So guess what I done? I preached Jesus as hard as I could preach.
Amen.
His daughter, that I'm fixed to tell you about, has got a growth inside of her that's bigger than two cantaloupes. And she's dying. I visited her just this past week. Two cantaloupes inside of her, and she's dying. Never been married. Has not a friend in the world. Not nobody. Her sister flew in from Houston, Texas. One sister. And her brothers hate the ground she walks on. Ain't this awful? And I'm saying that she has nobody, but her sister flew in from Texas and staying with her till she draws her last breath. Two growths inside of her. has no assurance that she's died, she'd go to heaven. None whatsoever. She asked me, she said, "Does anybody care?" I said, "Jesus does."
Amen.
And I told her, I said, if I didn't care, I wouldn't be here. Do y'all listen to me? A friend is a treasure. Oh, we ought to treasure our friends. Thank God. I had a preacher drive when my boy got killed. He drove over 4 hours one way and left one solitary rose on my doorstep. And I'm telling you right now, nor will I ever forget that, amen. A friend is somebody that cares about you, amen. And the friend is a treasure. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also." So I said, "Where your treasure is, where your home will be." What your treasure is, where good health is a treasure. And then friends are so rare, that's a treasure. Your church family, what a treasure that is. I am more closer to my church family than I am my own family. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I think y'all was kidding me a moment ago when I told you about Jay when he's back here. And I said, "Jay, where are you at?" Because I've always just seen him sitting there. I didn't want him back here. I want him up here. Do y'all understand what I mean by that when I say your church family? How many of y'all understand what I'm saying? I am more closer to my church family than I am my own family. They don't understand me. Most of them, we was going to have this family reunion. Waldens, Sissons, Wrens, Outlaws. Well, we'd go have a funeral, Miss Betty. One of our family would die. Man, it'd be everybody loving. Y'all ever go to funeral homes and they're loving on each other? How many of y'all ever seen that at funeral homes? They just love on each other. "Oh, I ain't seen you in so long."
Be careful.
It's like a family reunion. Am I right or wrong? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
I said, "I know what I'm going to do, Miss Ray, Miss Renee. I know what I'm going to do. We're going to have a family reunion." Man, I paid for the stamps. I wrote the letters. I paid for the envelopes. Sent everybody a letter. And I said, "Meet me at the William Whitley house. We're going to have a family reunion." Lord, help us. My nieces come in some most ungodliest clothing you ever seen in your life. My uncles come with rot gut moonshine, cases of beer, fifths of whiskey. They didn't expect me to preach 30 minutes. So, hey, we got them all together. 111 of us, I believe, at the William Whitley house. Family reunion. Hallelujah. What a time we had pitching horseshoes and seeing everybody, right? Next year comes along, we'll have another family reunion. I typed the letter, sent it out, paid for it, sent stamps. I told my nieces, "Put clothes on." I told my uncles, "Leave your beer at home." Guess what? They don't even invite me anymore. Look at y'all's faces. They don't invite me no more. What I'm saying is, my church family, I've got more in common. Do you understand what I just mean by that? Church family, we have in common, we have a bond. I love my family. God knows I do. I witness to them. I don't want them to go to hell. Amen. But I'm saying I'm more closer to my church family than I am my own blood kin. Amen, brother and sister. What a treasure a church family is. I got more aunts and uncles. I got more moms and dads. I got them all over the country. When I had this heart, I didn't realize how many people, I didn't know how many people really cared about me. Lord, let me see. Whoa! I had a spell. Did I make my pacemaker go off then? Probably did. But I mean, I got hundreds of cards and letters from people. You think I don't cherish them? Some of y'all sitting here, did you hear what I said? Do you think I don't treasure them? I treasure them. Hey, I honestly, before God, a church family, what a treasure that is.
Amen.
My boy that's had this major heart attack, this widowmaker, 40 years old. He went back on light duty. What time is it? Still 11 o'clock. I like it. So my boy, he works for Wilbur Vault. Do y'all know what? They put vaults in the ground. Let me tell you what my boy said. He said, "Daddy," he said, "you know what kills me? They open up. Do y'all know what I mean? They open graves up, close graves, put vaults in. You know what I'm talking about? He said, Daddy, he said, nobody stays anymore. He said, you don't see nobody crying no more. He said, nobody don't seem to care. Ain't that a sight? And by the way, they had 7 funerals in one day. That's this past week. And he said, Daddy, he said, it's just like nobody cares. It's just like nobody cares. Get them in the ground, close them up, let's get back to life as normal. Amen. What I'm saying is, but I remember in years gone by, people used to, they cared about their family. I can remember used to, in a church family, boy, they were close-knit. They cared about each other. Boy, a church family is a treasure. Amen, preacher. Where your treasure is where your heart will be also. Listen to this. I believe your home is a treasure. Health is a treasure. Your friends are a treasure. Your church family is a treasure. Then I believe this country we live in is a treasure.
Amen.
I ain't got no real, I'm not no real brilliant person. This guy come over yesterday. He's an Iranian. An Iranian been in the country for 33 years. Pay attention to me. 33 years he's been in America. And he's a sociologist. Major. Boy, I like picking his brain. You know what he told me? I ain't never met nobody like you. I bet that's the truth. He said he raised his kids in America. You know what he said? Can I ask where you're from? You're from the Philippines. How long you been in America?
4 years.
4? This is the words he said. He's a sociologist major. Y'all listen to what I'm saying? Community college? He said, there's no place like America. Did y'all get that? I don't think you still got it, did you? Didn't register, did he? He's an Iranian. He's an Iranian. He was under the regime. What was the man they took out? Saddam Hussein, he was under their regime. He said, there's no place like America. But I said, we take it all for granted. Our freedoms. Amen, preacher sister. What a treasure. You could have been born in the dark regions of the jungles of Africa, but God let you be born in America. What a treasure this country is. But our country's in trouble. And you know what I find? People don't care. It's not a treasure to them. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I breathe air and get in trouble. That's sitting right there. My whole goal, I love giving him a fit. I said, where's your sorry daddy at? And she's looking for her sorry daddy. She knew who I was talking to. Get your hand up. He don't even know what high five is. You know I'm picking. Listen to this. Talking about our country's in trouble. Our homes are disintegrating. Our churches are falling apart. Did you know in the county I'm from, there's 14 churches without pastors? Most of them don't want a pastor. 8 over in Russell County. They can't keep preachers. Our country is falling apart. There's an old adage here in Kentucky, you don't appreciate the water till the well goes dry. We're involved in helping the people in Haiti real big. We're building sandbag houses in Haiti. Let me give you this little figure that'll blow your mind. If I throw this out to you, in Haiti, they got over 500,000 that's living in tents. Over 500,000. If I throw this figure out to you, and this ought to get a hold of you, boy, I'm involved in this big time. What percentage of children you think die before the age of 5 in Haiti? What percentage? Rattle it off to me right quick. Before the age of 5, what percentage of a child do you think dies? Can you believe 44% of all children die before the age of 5? CNN News. Would you like to know what they die from? I heard somebody say malnutrition. Not trying to be ugly. It's the water system. Dysentery. Diarrhea. But guess what? My oldest boy is in Marietta, Georgia. He is telling these people at a big conference what I was involved in and what another missionary is involved in, which was a missionary to Haiti, building the sandbag houses and the water system. This old gentleman said, you need to tell your dad to get a hold of this number. And he put the the website, put his name. So Chris called me, my oldest boy, so I called him, called this guy. He's out of Miami, Florida. Look up here. 44% of all children die before the age of 5 in Haiti as a result of the water system. Yes, Scott, listen to this. I can't speak Creole. My brother, you was a missionary to the Philippines. Creole. Anybody can speak Creole. Pasimila, I can't pronounce the word. I can't. It's Creole in Haiti. I can't speak it, so don't condemn me if I mispronounce it. But it's called Fasimila. Fasimila, some of that. And the Roman Catholics are working big time in Miami, Florida. Guess what they're doing? For $8.50, we can purify water for a year for a family of 5. And them little kids don't have to die. So I hope next time y'all go and turn your water faucet on, I hope you think about that. What a blessing this country is. Say amen. Amen. But we don't register. It doesn't register that our country is a treasure. Amen. Most of us. See, I think about men that went and fought in World War II. I think about the men that fought in World War I. Men that went to Korea. Men went to Vietnam. Hey, I'm talking about America is a treasure, amen. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Boy, you can't get them to vote. You can't get them to stand up. I'm telling you, we're falling apart at the seam because we don't really believe that our country's a treasure. We don't really believe the church is a treasure. We don't act like it. Amen. Preachers, everywhere I go, they're burning themselves out. Can't get them to come back on Sunday night. Can't get them to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Most churches are doing away with Wednesday night services. You know why they can't get them to come? Our churches are a treasure. Boy, I've been blessed of the Lord. I think about where I'd be, what I'd be involved in. What would my life be if I had not got in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? What a church is a treasure. Say amen. Say amen to me, Jake.
Amen.
That's sinful to have a head of hair like that. Sinful, Jake. JC. Will y'all agree with me that our churches are a treasure? Then why don't we act like it? Why don't we? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Look in your Bible, Matthew 6. We're going to wind down a minute. I'm saying your home is a treasure, your health is a treasure, your friends are a treasure. Then I said, your church family, what a treasure. Our country we live in, what a treasure. This book I hold in my hand, what a treasure. But there's an all-out assault on this right here, like I have never seen in my life. You can't believe it, parentheses, so-called friends that I've had over the years, that because of my stand on the King James Bible, that have now departed. You can't believe it. The church. I heard this. You make me mad and I'll call his name. I was coming down here this morning to push scan. Heard this voice. I got to listen to him. And guess what he said? Guess what he said on the radio, Jay? Guess what he said? He said, we're living in a world of change. And he said right now, said, I'm going through this change at the church. He said, the change of this modern worship. He said, I don't like it, but he said, I've got a change to it. I thought, boy, that's a low-down compromise. Say amen. Gets on the radio and he says, we're going through this change at the church. And he said, I got a change with it. Give me a chapter and verse for that, would you? Ain't that pitiful? We got a change with it. My granddaughter told me the other day, she says, Grandpa, she says, you're a Neanderthal. I said, thank you. It's a compliment. Don't bother me a bit. She is picking at me. I ain't changing, Miss Kathy. Look at me for a moment. If it was good enough for our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, I wish I had me a little bitty kid. You, how old's that little boy? Huh? You seven? You seven? Come here. Come here, come here. Come on, baby. Come here just a minute. No, come here just a minute. Won't you come here? Come here with me. Come on. Come up here. He needs a good grandpa. Come here a minute. Come on. Come on. Come here just a minute. He's 7 years old. Okay, that's all right. Leave him sit there. Let me ask you a question. Everybody look at that little boy. He's 7. In 2 years, he'll be 9. What will it be like for him? I didn't say 5. 2. What will it be like for him? Y'all ever think about it? This war that's raging. I know people don't believe this. But boy, this right here is a treasure. His whole life will depend on what this right here is embedded in him. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against the Lord. So if we keep watering down, diluting down. I told a man the other day, called me from the radio, he said, why are you so dogmatic over the King James Bible? I said, why am I what? He said, why are you so dogmatic? I said, because the Bible is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
He said, is that all you know is quote the Bible? I said, yeah. Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. He said, I got to go. I said, no, wait a minute. He's on long distance. I want to run his bill up. Ain't I mean? But I'm just saying, this is a treasure. Our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, they read it out of an old kerosene lamp. They studied it. They memorized it. They put it in their heart. Got to tell you this, we'll close maybe an hour. If you look at your watch, we may go too. This woman is 93 years old. Cedar Grove Baptist Church, where I preached at. It's just been there for, I've been going there every year. So I preach from Sunday through Wednesday because it's local. That's back in March. And I was talking about how our churches, now remember this big old white building, picture horses being tied up out front, wagons back in early 1900s, refuse cars. She come to me and she says, and she walks with a great big walking stick and her back is bowed down like this and she walks with that walking stick. She is one of the nicest ladies and her name's Miss Margaret. She loves God. And every year I go, she's bowed down a little bit more. Her back is so bound down, she walks that walking stick. We was talking about how churches used to have altars. Talking about now churches took the altars down. No longer want no altars in the church. And we was talking about, and I was preaching one night, on how the condition of our churches. After the service is over, I said, is there any charter members here? She raised her hand. Oh, did they ever bless me. She said, Brother Sisson, would you like to have the minutes? I said, I'd love to have the minutes of this church. And I wish you could have read the handwritten minutes in the early 1900s of Cedar Grove Baptist Church versus today. Boy, if that wasn't an eye-opener. Our churches is a treasure. People used to walk to them. Now you can't bribe them or pay them to come. This is awful. I don't know anything down here. I don't know any who or what. It's awful today that you have to pay people to even do anything around the house of God. They don't want to do it because it's not a treasure to them. Ain't that pitiful? But I'm just trying to get you to see. Jesus says, "For where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be." Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Is your home a treasure? Is your health a treasure? Is your friends a treasure? Is your church family a treasure? Is the Word of God a treasure? Boy, you ought to thank God this morning a million times over you're not in hell. I took care of that man's funeral. I couldn't say nothing. I asked his daughter, I said, to your knowledge, has he ever made a profession of faith in Christ? She said, no. I preached Jesus as hard as I could preach. Listen to me. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. Jesus said, for where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. You know what I want to do this morning? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Larry, you come.